This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Google Trends expert Justin Burr is going to join me to break down the top five search trends on Google this week. Thanks for joining me, Justin.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so for this week, what we get for number five?
We've got the Oscars taking place on Sunday, and you're probably wondering who's hosting it. We don't know still. It's going to be potentially hostless for the first time since 1989, which was when it was hostless in the past. People are kind of speculating that maybe Whoopi Goldberg will be the host because she's been absent from The View, but that's not confirmed. But blows my mind that in 2019, because of all the sensitivities around everything, we still can't find a famous person that wants to get up on stage because they're just going to get, I don't know, they're just going to get mean things said about them on social media. So actually, Kevin Hart is the number one search interest in terms of is blank hosting the Oscars, because apparently he was going to host. I actually kind of missed this news cycle, I guess, but then people dug up a bunch of like super homophobic stuff he said in the past. And I went and just read through it. It's pretty bad. He's just like, man, if I ever had a son that was gay, like, I would do everything in my power to make sure that he wasn't. I don't know. It's terrible. So obviously Kevin Hart isn't hosting. But Oscars this Sunday, there's a lot of fun stuff going on.
So wait, how is that going to work out without a host? Do they just have people go up there and present like, hey, this person is nominated and this person is nominated, and then that's it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know how they did it in 1989. I mean, really, the host doesn't do a ton outside of that opening monologue where they, like, make jokes and make fun of people and say a bunch of things. So without that, I don't know. Maybe they can just move through the program a little bit quicker and they can let the people talk when they win an award a little bit longer. Because I know we talked about that anxiety associated when the song comes on at the Grammys. Let the Oscar folks talk. Let them all be hosts. Everybody's a host.
Oh, I like that. Everybody gets an extra 5 minutes, right? Because you're right. There's no opening dialogue or closing dialogue. Ooh, that's smart.
Who do you think is going to win Best Picture? What's your prediction?
I have none. I want to be surprised. Great. Surprise me,
sure.
Baby.
Okay. I hope it's Roma. That's what I'm saying. I love that film, and I thought it was beautiful.
Really? You liked it? I haven't watched it, so I wouldn't know.
I thought it was incredible. I also just saw The Favorite, man. And I don't know if you remember or not, but the guy Vivaldi, he is an absolute hit machine. The music in The Favorite is incredible. And the composer Vivaldi, man, that guy's got more hits than Migos and Cardi B. I'll take Vivaldi any day over those guys.
What did we get for number four?
We've got life expectancy. There's a new report out that details all the different life expectancies in all the different states. Illinois, you guys are 23rd. So life expectancy if you were born in 2015 is 79.1 years. And that's a nice increase from if you were born in 1980, your life expectancy is 73.3 years. So life expectancy is getting longer. If you live in Illinois, which is a good thing, but number one's Hawaii, which is wild, because I'm always like, man, why don't I live in Hawaii? You know, it's an island, it's tropical, it's nice, and now they're living longer than everybody. It just seems like such an ideal place.
Let's say you're a Hawaiian native, but you moved to California. Do you have the same life expectancy in Hawaii, or did it transfer to California?
You have those, like, intrinsic Hawaiian qualities because you're born there, but then your environment is California, but also California is number two, so it's not like there's going to be huge disparity there. Lowest life expectancy, Mississippi. So if you're born in Mississippi, you live there until you're, like, 15, then you move to Hawaii, yeah, there's a huge disparity there. There's, like, 6 years. 6 years of life expectancy between Mississippi and Hawaii. That's a lot of time.
That is a lot of time. So I would just divide that in half and give myself 3 years then, 3 extra years, right? Like, I'm just saying, that's how it would work, right? At least I hope it would, because I'm going to leave Illinois one time. I'm going to leave Illinois and go over to Hawaii, and I hope that my life expectancy will go up then, hopefully.
It definitely will. And I know that you're big on naps. Think how many more naps you could take in the 3 extra years of your life that you're getting while living in Hawaii. It's incredible. Nap on the beach. That's a good nap.
It will be an excellent nap, sir. What we get for number three?
Number three, we got Zion Williamson. And, man, I don't know if you're a basketball fan at all, but this was pretty wild to see. So earlier this week, Zion plays for Duke. He's this freshman phenom, just such an incredibly talented player. And he plays on Duke, and he's projected to go number one in the NBA draft, and he's 18 years old and just super young, and they're playing their bitter rival UNC, and tickets are going for $2,000 just to get in the building, which is wild. And in the first minute, Zion Williamson planted his foot and his shoe just exploded, and then he sprained his knee. And everybody's like, whoa, everybody's looking at Nike because they're like, yo, he's wearing your shoe. What did you guys do wrong? And then everybody is obviously worried about Zion. And then it sparks a big debate about, hey, if this now makes him go lower in the upcoming NBA draft, we need to do something about that, because you have the rules in the NBA right now say that you have to go and be 19 years old in order to play. So everybody goes to college, plays 1 year, then goes to the NBA. But there's a likelihood of you getting hurt and lowering the amount of money that you can then make in the NBA. So there's a huge debate about playing or paying NCAA athletes, or if they should allow them to go straight to the NBA. But also, his shoe just exploded, which is something that nobody's ever seen before. He's just such a massive dude. So it's crazy.
Yeah, I read that was a brand new pair of shoes too. So it wasn't like he was using them for weeks at a time. No, this was the first time he was wearing them in a game, and they just exploded. Wasn't he being scouted at this particular game too?
I'm sure there were scouts there. I mean, this was the biggest regular season NCAA game of the season, because Duke UNC, both phenomenal teams, and there's so much NBA talent. Duke has three lottery picks on that team right now. So, yeah, there's a lot of NBA talent on both of them, so definitely got to be scouts in that building. But, yeah, the sole just kind of fell off the shoe. But it's really funny, Twitter was pretty funny afterwards. So Puma then tweeted and was like, wouldn't have happened if he was in Pumas. And everybody's like, dude, stop capitalizing on this kid's injury. So then they deleted it, and that was bad. And then Carlos Boozer, former NBA player, tweeted, get well soon, Zion, but he tweeted at Zion National Park instead of Zion Williamson, the player, and then Zion National Park tweeted back to him, was like, thanks, we're actually expecting a lot of snow this weekend, so it could be pretty dangerous. I don't know, that's pretty funny.
That's actually really good. They're like, thanks, man, thanks for looking out for me. I don't know why, but thanks, brother.
Oh, man, I don't know why. It's so funny. And when I read that tweet, I just was cracking up. Why did you tweet at Zion National Park, man? Crazy.
I'm curious. I wonder if Zion and his family will sue Nike. I mean, this will ruin. This could take millions off, potentially, off his contracts.
Potentially. The thing is, so, agreed, but it probably won't, because it was a mild knee sprain, and he's, listed as day-to-day. He actually might come back or be cleared to at least play in the next couple days, so it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But everybody's like, no, don't play, man. Sit out. Say the injury is worse than it is. Sit out and wait for the NBA. There's nothing that you can do right now that will help you. There's only things that will detract from what you're going to win. But then also there's an argument around the fact that he has a big insurance policy that will help him make up lost money should he drop in the draft, but that is not enough. He is going to make so much money that a $5 million insurance policy pales in comparison in the sponsorships, the contracts, the shoe deals that he is going to get when he is a professional athlete. So, I mean, everybody's calling him for him to just kind of sit down and wait it out.
He should sit. He should sit, bench himself, and let that fully heal, because those doctors, they're going to sit there and say you're good to go, and you're not. And he's going to end up ruining his knee further. So I hope he sits out, because it's a shame if his career couldn't even get started and he's already plagued with leg injuries.
Mason has spoken, Zion. Heed her warnings.
You've seen it before. It's just, he has a lot of potential. I hope he goes far. But, sometimes taking an extra month or two off, boom, you're going to come back a millionaire.
Well, I agree. He is. I totally agree. Yeah, he is. Yeah, we're not. He is.
What we get for number two?
We got the super snow moon, and that was a really bright moon. That was February's full moon this past Tuesday morning, precisely, and it was the brightest moon of 2019, which is wild. And I definitely remember looking up at the sky on Monday night, Tuesday morning, and being like, wow, that's a big moon. So I saw the moon and I was stoked on. So everybody's trying to go would be like, yo, what's up? Why is the moon so big? Does it affect my sleep? When's the next super moon? It could affect your sleep because it was so freaking bright that it was probably hard for people to sleep if they didn't have, you know, significant shades and drapes and things.
Why is it called a snow moon and not just a plain old super moon?
I think it's because it happens in winter in February, and instead of calling it a full moon, they call it a snow moon. That's how it's listed in the almanac. Man, almanac, that's kind of an outdated thing, but that's what they list it as, super snow moon.
The almanac now, okay, real fast. That stuff is crazy accurate. My sister did her wedding based around the almanac, and she's like, this day, this is the day I'm going to get married because it says it's not going to rain and it's in April and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, sure, it's going to not rain. You're going to figure out that the almanac is going to predict something 6 months or 8 months away, right? And no, it did. It predicted it very well.
Wait, so is the almanac like a physical book, or that's just some sort of information repository you find online?
No, it's a physical book.
Okay.
The Farmer's Almanac. The Farmer's Almanac is the one that gives you the weather. And then there's the other almanacs, which they're not actually owned by the same company. They're two different companies. Yeah, back in
almanacs?
Yeah, back in the 1910s or 1920s, there was a ton of almanacs. Everybody had an almanac. You had an almanac. I had an almanac. Everybody published their own almanac. And now there's only a few that actually survived. And the Farmer's Almanac is the one that gives you all the weather and stuff. And it's a special formula they will not tell anybody, but it's fairly accurate. So they'll know this is the day, how much, you know, what's the humidity going to be, and this is the high and the low of the day, and at what time. It's actually very accurate. So, surprise, surprise.
That's incredible. According to the information that I have here, yeah, the Old Farmer's Almanac is the one that characterizes this as the super snow moon, and they use that name just for February's full moon each year.
Oh, wow,
because
only February.
Typically, the heaviest amount of snow falls in February, so they call it the super snow moon. So, man, almanac for the win. All right.
Yeah, right. All right, what do we get for number one?
We got Karl Lagerfeld, and he is that longtime director of Chanel, and he passed away this week at 85. And I didn't know a ton about this fellow, but he's got some pretty silly quotes about, I don't know, he was pretty curt when it came to different fashion things. And there's a quote apparently about sweatpants where he goes, "Sweatpants are a sign of defeat. You lost control of your life, so you bought some sweatpants." And it really cracks me up because I'm currently wearing sweatpants right now. And you know what? I'm not giving up, but I think it's really funny that he's just like, oh, anybody that wears sweatpants is just like ridiculous. So yeah, it's pretty silly, but he passed away. So everybody, you know, obviously always turns to Google to understand their contributions to society and things like that. But yeah, big fashion designer, led Chanel, led Fendi, all those brands that, you know, I always wear all the time.
I was just about to say, I've never owned anything Chanel. I'm sure my mother has Chanel stuff, but not me. So I can't say he's actually affected my life at all. But I've seen him in the pictures, the fashion pictures. I love what he wears. It looks really weird, but right. I like it. Very fashionable.
Very fashionable. Do you own sweatpants? Have you lost control of your life?
I have, apparently, because not only do I have sweatpants, I have yoga pants. And I don't do yoga.
Oh, wow. We are out of control right now. We're just giving up. Sign of defeat.
I said, and I have just plain t-shirts. Uh-oh. We're in trouble.
Uh-oh. Carl's rolling over in his grave.
What we get for the most watched YouTube video?
It's a long one, and it's called Kit Bull, and it's a Pixar short animated film. And the Pixar animated short films are always so awesome. They always just are extremely simple. There's not necessarily ever a lot of talking, if anything. And they just use nice animation to kind of bring together a story. And the one that they're showing right now is kind of two abused animals, a pit bull and a little cat. And they become unlikely friends and form a little bit of an alliance. It's 8 minutes long. I watched it this morning. It was heartfelt. Got over 5.5 million views. Go check it out, Kit Bull. But Pixar, they're just a hit machine. They're always cranking out the good content.
Yeah, I thought that one was so cute. I really wanted the dog to get better because he was just so friendly, right? And then the little kitten was like, come on, come on, we could get over it. And they made it over the fence, and I was so happy. I was like, yes, yes.
It was great. I know, and you find yourself like very emotionally invested, even though it's like, you know, kind of a rudimentary-looking type of cartoon. You're like, yes, let's do it. You can go. So, yeah, it's fun. It's a fun little watch.
Yeah, it was. It's a lot better than, you know, crappy music videos.
Oh, my God. I totally, totally agree. I know. This week, I really enjoyed it.
Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here, man.
Hey, you're very welcome.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.